Yeah, praise God. We thank God again for another good morning to share God's word. And, studying this man, Jacob, and looking at how God dealt with him and pointing it to Christ is for me, really, it's been a blessing. And, initially we were thinking we'll just do one day of Jacob, but then we realize the guy is, he has so much about him. Why? And I personally feel he speaks to me because he really represents, like how at times I think how I've done life. I've been striving, trying to get approval, trying to get, doing so many things, trying to break free from poverty, trying to break free, doing so much in the aim of, getting the blessing and not just recognizing that the true blessing is found in Christ, And you see how, Jacob, when he lands in his father's, when he runs away from his father's house, running away from Esau, and then he meets God. And you see, even before he fully comes to God in Genesis 28, verse 13, when he has a dream and he has a stairway ascending and with angels ascending and descending. And yesterday we were talking about that's the ministry of angels, and the ministry of angels is actually for the believer, is the new covenant believer, and knowing that they are messengers that are sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. And so as we understand that, then we see that God is the one who meets him on that stone, and says, I'm the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac, and I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All peoples on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you. Wherever you go, I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. And verse 16, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it, or I knew it not. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. So as one thing that we see is that it is actually God who reaches out to Jacob. You can imagine, he's the man who has just stolen his brother's birthright. He's running away. And God comes and makes all these promises to him. And you see, that's why when people say there's no grace in the Old Testament, they really don't understand. Because you can see this guy, he was not in a place that deserved, for God to reach out to him. But God is the one who reaches out to him and makes the blessing. And that's why when we say that while we were still sinners, Christ sent his son to die for us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So we see the redemptive action of God even beforehand, that he comes to us. And so he reaches, his uncle's house, and of course there's that encounter where he has to help Rachel, who is a shepherd. They were shepherds, and the she was struggling with her father's sheep and all that. And eventually, she's invited to the house, and she loved Rachel. But you see, in Genesis 29 verse 16, it says, now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. It says that Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel was lovely in form and beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, I'll work for you for 7 years in return for your younger daughter Rachel. Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here with me. So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. One of the things that we see is that Jacob and let me just finish 21. When Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, my time is completed. I want to lie with her." So Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. But when the evening came, he took his daughter Leah and gave her to Jacob, and Jacob lay with her. And Laban gave his servant girl Zilpah to his daughter as her maidservant. When morning came, there was Leah. And so Jacob said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me? Laban replied, "It is not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one. Finish this daughter's bridal week, then we will give you the younger one also in return for another 7 years of work." So, and Jacob did so. He finished the week with Leah, and then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Laban gave his servant girl Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her maidservant. Jacob lay with Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah, and he worked for Laban another 7 years. And you can see the challenges of labor. If we read Ecclesiastes, Solomon says that he found something more grievous than the labor under the sun. There's a word he uses, labor under the sun. This means that when you're laboring outside of the will of God, when you're struggling, when you're doing things outside of the provision, outside of the divine empowerment of God, it is a real labor. And actually what you do is that you land under the hands of slave masters. And you can see for sure Laban in this case was a real slave master. You can imagine the guy is told, work for 7 years. But because he loved, he said that the 7 years were like a few days. And usually when we teach young people, we tell them that, you see, real love waits, you understand? So even if it is 7 years, it will be like a few days. But lust wants it now. The difference, lust, when you know it's lust, when you don't satisfy it now, immediately it ends there. There is no more love, there is no more affection. Then you know it is love. And most of the time, you find that the moment someone has satisfied their love, they are not interested again. They are not interested again. And likewise, also when they are denied whatever to satisfy their lust, they get angry and they are not interested again. And that's why time is also very important. But we see that he is deceived for 7 years for him to get Rachel. But you see, because the uncle lies to him and maybe uses divination or make sure he's drunk in that night, but the Bible tells us that in the morning, there was Leah. And I can imagine it must have been so tough for him. Why have you deceived me? So he was deceived. But then, at least he did not have to work another 7 years to be given Rachel. He was given the week after. So at least he was given the two. Now he ended up being a polygamous man, not by choice. It wasn't by choice, but because he was tricked into it. You understand? And the challenge now with polygamous families we see is now the hatred and the favoritism that happens, because when he slept with Rachel, he loved her, because he always loved her before more than Leah. But then verse 31, we see that when the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he opened up her womb, but Rachel was barren. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, "It is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me." And I want us to see some principle of names and how they are. Reuben was the firstborn. And he said, "Because my husband has loved me, has seen my misery, because God has seen my misery, surely," she was looking for the affection of her husband. 33, she said, but she conceived again. And when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Because the Lord that has heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too." She named him Simeon. You know, in that time, getting sons is you feel that your husband will love you. So the first one, she said, surely God has seen my misery. My husband will now love me. Number two, because God has heard that I am not loved. Number three, again, 34, Again, she conceived. And when she gave birth to a son, she said, now at last my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him 3 sons. So she named him Levi. She was sure that now 3 boys, alas, this man will fall head over heels. But then she conceived the 4th time. And when she gave birth to son, she said, to her son, she said, this time I will praise the Lord. So she named him Judah. Then she stopped having children. And it's really a picture of, and you see, Judah means praise. Eh? This time I will praise the Lord. And Christ came through the lineage of Judah. Jesus came through the lineage of Judah. And you can see that the way Jacob was striving himself also is the same way that his wives were now striving against one another. You get me? So now Leah starts striving to win the affection of the husband. And after giving 3 sons, is all naming them, oh, my husband will love me. In the 4th son is when she decided, by the way, it doesn't matter anymore whether you love me or not, this time I will praise God. And that is the attitude we need to have, that a time will get where you're like, you know what, I'm not after the affections of men. I'm not after praising people. If people, whether they see it or whether they praise it, whatever I do, it shall be for the praise of God. Because God has made us to be his praise. And we are called to praise him. And then eventually, now chapter 30, it says, now Rachel realized that she was barren, and then now she became jealous. You can see how jealousy entered that home. And she said to Jacob, give me children or I will die. And then Jacob became angry with her and said, am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children? Then she said, here is Bilhah, my maidservant. Sleep with her so that she can bear children from me. And so eventually she gave back, and then she born a son, Dan. And then Bilhah conceived again. She named him Naphtali. And so you can see this man was not only having 2 wives, he ended up having 4 wives. Because in their culture, they had the maid servant. Yeah? These things were not easy for this guy. Yeah? So he's having Naphtali, Zilpah. Ah. And then now Leah again, now when she saw that God has stopped having children, you know, then she gave also her maid servant Zilpah. And then she got Gad. And then Asher, and then, I mean, so many things. Then you start seeing how the issue of selling mandrakes. The son Reuben comes with mandrakes. Rachel says, I want mandrakes. And then say, no, I will not give you if I trade my husband with you today. So you can imagine now they are starting to exchange the man. Then when the guy comes, he's told, you must sleep with me. I have hired you with my son's mandrakes. That is how bad it can get. Genesis 30 verse 16. Eh? You must sleep with me, she said. I have hired you with my son's mandrakes. So he slept with her that night. You can imagine, that means that all this time, Jacob just ignored her. You can imagine how sad it is. Ignored her. And he said, you must sleep with me. And then God listened to Leah. And she became pregnant. Eh? And he got another son. And then said, God has rewarded me, Issachar. And then eventually, you see, all these sons are listed, Zebulun. And then eventually they get a daughter, Dinah. And then eventually, finally, God remembers Rachel and gives her a son, finally her first son, called Joseph. So remember, Rachel only had 2 boys, Joseph and Benjamin. And Benjamin is born, and then Rachel dies. So that is why you can see that Joseph was very dear to Jacob, because he was born of Rachel. Eventually, and I said, and as we've been learning in Genesis now 30 verse 27, after he finished the 14 years, his flocks increased, and then he wanted to leave. So he told his father-in-law that, give me my wives and my children whom I have served, and I will go. You know how I've worked for you. But Laban said to him, if I have found favor in your eyes, please stay with me. I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. So name your wages and I will pay them. So now that is where now the guy starts, agrees to work for Laban. Now he has finished the 14 years. Now he starts working for 6 years. And you see now he is now told, okay, the animals that have spots are yours. The ones that are no spots, they are Laban's. They start doing that. His flocks start to grow. They change again. The guy changes his wages. He said, no, this guy, no, let me, the ones with spots are mine. He changes them. You know, he starts knowing how they met, and I think he even tells his wives in another place that it is God who gave him a dream, who showed him how by the poplar trees, how the animals were mating. So he learned that if he mates them under the poplar trees, whichever design they needed to be, God will increase him. Even if he changes the wages, that let them be strict, they will give birth to strict. If he changes the wages where they be spotted animals, they will be spotted, and there's another principle there that I don't need to get into, about how the goats were looking at the poplar tree, and the poplar tree was spotted, right? I mean, if you go and Google it, it's a spotted tree. So as the goats were mating, looking at the poplar trees, they produced the animals that were spotted. it's an interesting about where your gaze is. Yeah? I mean, what are you looking at? Sight. But eventually the guy has to run away. And he eventually calls his wives and tells them, by the way, if God has not been on my side, your father would have left me with nothing. And he said, let us take off, let us run. And he said, your father has cheated me by changing my wages 10 times. However, God has not allowed him to harm me. So eventually we see that he runs away, but God has blessed him so much. So much, so much, so much. And he gives a dream of how in the breeding season he had a dream, and he saw the male goats mating with the flock. And the angel of the Lord said to him, look up and see that all the male goats mating with the flock are streaked, speckled, or spotted. For I have seen that Laban has been doing to you. What Laban has been doing to you, I'm the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now leave this land at once and go back to your native land. So eventually you can see that God now commanded him now to go back. So eventually now he decides the only way to go back is to run away. And the beauty of God is that when Laban came, God had already warned him in a dream. He said, I have power to harm you. That is 31:29. But last night, the God of your father said to me, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. Don't say anything. And for me, this scripture is one of the scriptures that came alive to me in a very difficult time. We had an accident, and sadly the person died. Actually, it was some motorcycle people, and they were like three. They were drunk, and the driver that I was going with, knocked them, and eventually one of them was stepped over. The car went over his chest. The good thing is that it happened right in front of a police station. And there was so many crowds, but the first person who came to the window, because the driver took off and entered into the police station and just screaming and went and hid herself. And for me, I was left in the car. And I have, office things and all that, and I'm just there. And then the guy knocked. He said, open, where's the key? Then I told him, I can't give you the key. And then the guy shows me his ID. He was a police officer. Then I was like, okay, fine, I gave him. Then eventually we took the guys to the hospital. We tried to resuscitate, but one guy did not make it. And then the hospital guys were like, the communities here are very difficult, so better we hide you somewhere. and until the family comes, they cool down and all that. But I remember what the Lord gave me that word in that moment. He said that, I have covered you. They will not say anything bad or good to you. And eventually we met the family, and the man never said anything, the father of the man. He just listened to everything that happened, and he just kept quiet. And for me, that was the assurance that came from the word of God at that time. And you see, how God works is that in every scripture that you read, there's a time where he makes it alive. He brings it to life. So for me, every time I see this scripture of Laban, when he comes and tells you that, I have the power to harm you, but last night the God of your father said to me, be careful not to say anything to me, to Jacob, either good or bad. For me, it reminds me of how God rescued me, and of how God can shut, you know, the mouths of people, or even, I mean, where they have the power to harm you, but God can just silence them. Just like the same way Daniel, the lions were silenced, you know, their mouths were shut. So every scripture that we read, the time that you will need it, the Holy Spirit will bring it to life. And you will be able to receive it, you know. And eventually, you know, it tells him that, you know, for 20 years I have worked for you. Your sheep and goats have not miscarried. They have not eaten your rams or flocks. I did not bring you any animals torn by wild beasts. I bore the loss myself. You demanded payment from me, whatever was stolen by day or night. This was my situation. This is Genesis 31 verse 40. This was my situation. The heat consumed me in the daytime and the cold at night, and sleep fled from my eyes. Verse 41. It was like this for the 20 years I was in your household. I worked for you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flocks. And you changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not been with me, you would have surely sent me away empty-handed. But God has seen my hardship and the toil of my hands, and last night he rebuked you. Just see how, when you labor under the sun, when you labor outside the will of God, when you labor under wicked masters, when you labor under difficult people, what you realize is that they can change your wages. They can make you desolate. But unless God intervenes, you can end up with nothing. You can find people have worked so many years. By the time they are retiring, they have nothing to show. Or just before they retire, they create problems so that they are sacked, so that they don't get any benefit. And you find someone is out. But this, you know, shall not be our story. Because God defends us. God will guide us. God will give us the strategy. God will give us the wisdom. Jacob really had the striving of... He really had striving. And this is really how men labor outside, labor under the sun, until they come to the cover of the Holy Spirit, until they come to encounter Christ, until they come to find their purpose. Everything that we do will be a labor under the sun. It will be a toil. That's why you see the Bible says, in vain you sleep late and you wake up early to eat the bread of sorrows. But I give sleep to those I love. Another version says that while they are sleeping, I provide for them. God provides for those he loves. Unless the watchmen, you know, watch over the house, unless the Lord watches over the house, the watchmen watch in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders build in vain. We must constantly take ourselves to the place where we recognize that every human effort outside of the will of God, every human effort that takes our own efforts, that we need to sin for us to succeed, anything that needs us to lower our dignity, to do corruption, to, you know, to do envy, competitive spirit that is just out of jealousy and envy, anything that we strive to achieve under the sun, it will always be toil, and you can lose it in a day. And Jacob realized that all of those things, he lost it in a day. because in one day he realized when he sent message to his brother, immediately the brother said, "I am coming." And then the messengers came and told him, "By the way, your guy is coming, and he's coming with four, I don't know, was it 400 men or something like that?" Then the guy knew he was in trouble. So he has to divide his family, send his wife, he send his first contingent, first ship, what, then he's left alone. And then he struggles with God. And I think at least tomorrow, I think we'll look at his struggle with God. Because I think there are some insights there that we need to look at. We need to look at how God breaks him, how God delivers him from this spirit of striving, this spirit of a vagabond, this spirit of poverty, this spirit of toiling under the sun, and how God brings him into his inheritance. And I believe that God desires to bring every individual to the place of sonship, to the place of knowledge, to the place of being at rest, to the place where God is, to the place to understand that God desires to actually prosper his people. God desires to walk with his people. God desires to encourage his people. And this is the area that we need to settle in, and we look at his encounter with the angel where he wrestled with God. And I believe that God will give us some insight, and by the grace of God tomorrow we'll connect it to how we can really be delivered from the spirit of striving, the spirit of a vagabond, the spirit of poverty. You can also call it the spirit of being an orphan. Because all these and there are signs that show someone is really under this spirit of poverty. You know, things like selfishness, you know, you want to get rich by all means, make it or make it. It doesn't matter the cost, you know. Things like that, as long as you get rich, it doesn't matter whether it's illegal means, gambling, stealing, corruption, where even after you achieve something, you're not happy. You're not happy because the spirit that was pushing you to get those things is, you're just thinking about tomorrow. You cannot enjoy today. It's just, when am I getting the next plot? When am I getting the next house? When am I getting the next job? You get a job and within a month you're already searching for others. You're already applying. You have more than 20 applications running at the same time. You are not at rest. Whether we deceive ourselves or not, that is a restless spirit. And that's a spirit of striving. Yet there's a place of rest because God is not the author of confusion. God is, he really guides us. He can really guide us and tell us this is the way, this is the direction. Walk into it. Yeah, so anyway, those are things we'll look at tomorrow, and I pray that God will give us the grace and wisdom for it. Okay, Kalas.
You thank me.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. I think Jacob teaches us patience and to believe and work, you know, with all your heart towards what you need. And I think his commitment to work towards getting his wife, Rachel, eventually, is, many would give up, many would just say, okay, let it be, you know. And perhaps you'd even devise other means, you know, to get them, but he stayed and he worked. So I think it's
it was diligent, yeah.
Yeah, diligent, and yeah, I think it's a good thing to reflect on that. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah, sure. Actually, it's really a principle, and you know, there's a verse that says diligent hands become wealthy, make rich, you know, and we can never run away from the place of diligence because that is how our world works. Like, if we must, doctrine is upon doctrine, line upon line, precept upon precept. That means that we build on the basic things. If you're not doing something, or you're not pushing yourself, you're not diligent, you're not hardworking, you're not faithful, then you're just praying, then there's no way that God will bless that. Because he says a little sleep, a little folding of hands, and poverty will come upon you like an armed robber. So the same Bible tells us to work. He that does not work should not eat, you know. So there are things that God expects of us before we move into that dimension of getting of the spiritual blessing. And we have a role to do that. But the difference between the believer is that, yes, he does all that. Yes, he works. Yes, he's busy. But he's not toiling. His work is blessed. He does it through a supernatural grace. You know, you do the naturally, supernaturally. And that is the grace that God gives. And he's able to bless the work of our hands and make it multiply, just like the same way he made the work of Jacob multiply, even though he was under oppression. And many times, many believers are under oppression. But one thing that we learn and we see is that God saw his oppression. And God always sees everyone who's oppressed and is merciful and is able to bring restoration. Yeah. Yeah, so I think we'll stop there for today, and then let's just commit it to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the teachings that you've given us. We commit ourselves before you. The Lord, the word shall be planted in our hearts that it shall bear fruit. I thank you even for my brother and his family, and even for myself and my family, and even for those who are not with us, those who listen later on. The Lord, you shall speak to them, you shall minister unto them and their families at their point of need, that they shall be able to experience your grace, your power, your mercy, your guidance. They shall be led of you, they shall be guided by you, and the Lord, you shall provide for them, O God. I pray for those who are laboring under the sun, that Lord God, may you bring them to a knowledge of truth, that Lord, you are the God that blesses your people. You're the builder of the house. You know, you're the one that guards and keeps watches over whatever resources that we have. And that, Lord, you have not called us to be striving. You have not called us to have the hustler spirit. You have not called us to be vagabonds. You've not called us to be toiling, oh God. But you've called us to work and to labor under your grace and to be guided by your grace and to have the grace-empowered work in which you're the one who works in us to do and to will according to your good pleasure. And I pray even that you shall grant us strategies, ideas that will help us, witty inventions, you know, that will give us ideas and direction to make a difference in our world, that Lord, the work of our hands shall be established, that you have something special for each and every one that puts its hope and trust in you for their destinies, O God. And the Lord, no one has ever come to you and you have left them empty handed. And you say in your word that you know the plans that you have for us, plans for good and not for evil, plans to prosper us, to give us a hope and a future. And you say that we shall, when we seek you, we shall find you, and we shall seek you with all our hearts. And I pray that you shall give us the grace to continue seeking you, and that, Lord, we may find you, O God. We pray for your hand, your protection, and your favor, O God. Bless the work of our hands. Bless our health. We rebuke every sickness in our midst. We come against it in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for divine health, that, Lord, we are healed. By the stripes we were healed. And for that, we are grateful that as your sons, we are walking in truth, we are walking in guidance, we are walking in your protection and in your leading, O God. May you order our steps, may everything that we do align for our lives according to your divine plans and purposes. We honor you, we adore you, and we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen. Okay, my brother. Have a blessed night. Bye-bye.